Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day.
Hey, good afternoon and good evening, depending on where you're listening from tonight. It's 7 o'clock Central here, 8 o'clock Pacific time where Carl is. And
no, try that. Try that Eastern time, my dear.
Eastern time. Yeah, Eastern time. Sorry. My brain is just not working today. It's been a long week already, and it's only Tuesday. But here we are tonight in association with ISF, Incredibly Strange Films on Facebook, where we just had a memorial podcast last night for our beloved founder, the recently passed away from us, David Whittington. And, oh my God, it was beautiful, guys. But in association with the Facebook group that he started, we are doing another one of our Carl and Rachel commentary watches. Are you excited, Carl?
I'm intrigued. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I guess
intrigued.
You could say I'm excited.
Okay, well, this is one I've been talking up for a few years to Carl because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yes, it is somewhat of a romantic comedy, but in a different kind of way. Yes, it stars a whole bunch of people that you probably don't respect as actors, but they're all doing things so much differently than they normally do. Plus, there is an all-star cast. I'm not even gonna name any names yet because I want you to pick them out, Carl. You're gonna love some of the people in this movie. So tonight we are doing Stranger Than Fiction, one of Rachel's favorite movies of all time, starring, oh my God, please don't hate me for this, Will Ferrell, of all people.
This is why I'm intrigued. I'm not a Will Ferrell fan. I'm just saying.
I'm not either, and that's why I want you to watch this movie, because I'm not either, but this is like, just pretend I didn't say Will Ferrell. He doesn't exist anymore. He is not in this movie. Stranger Than Fiction, of course, we are bringing it to you from our favorite, barely legal Russian site, OK.ru. We are both pulled up to, I'm right at 1 second, because okay.
Yeah, I'm right at 1 second, too. Hold on, let me get there. Hold on.
It's really hard to pull up to double aughts, so sorry about that, guys.
I'm actually at 02, but that's okay.
I will say, for people like Carl that are a little tired tonight, I'm going to go ahead and semi-spoiler alert. You really need to pay attention to the background story, too, because there's background scenes that tell a whole lot about what's going on in the rest of the movie. So whenever you guys are ready, Carl, you're so much better at the countdown than me.
Okay, we're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then go, and we hit play on go. Are we ready, Miss Rachel?
Yes, OK.ru, Stranger Than Fiction. Let's do this damn thing.
Okay, are you ready? Yes, you are. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And there we go. Is that Paramount or is that Universal?
Yeah,
no, that's not Universal.
Columbia.
Oh, Columbia, yeah. It's the lady, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't get much sleep either last night.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I have been working all day, but this movie is going to be worth it, at least for me. And I want to say that we just had a show recently on Down the Rabbit Hole, one of my shows that I do every few weekends with Carl and our buddy PC, and I probably should have pulled some songs. Well, I did pull a song from the soundtrack, but this whole soundtrack to this movie is pretty phenomenal. I found some of my favorite bands through this.
Nice.
Now let's see if you... recognize the voice?
Oh, absolutely. I know the voice. It's Emma Thompson.
Yes, it is.
And I know the basic setup. I also know that this is directed by Mark Forster, who is a very good director. Can you tell us a couple movies he did?
Let's see. He actually did Quantum of Solace. Is that the one that he did? Hold on a second.
Yep,
that was the one. He did The Kite Runner. He did, God bless. Hold on just a second. I just had him pulled up. There we go. My Stupid Dog, that was an interesting one. Some things that more people might be familiar with. He did Finding Neverland, Monsters Ball, World War Z, Christopher Robin, Machine Gun Preacher. I mean, this guy is amazing. Mm-hmm. This is an important bit of narration, Carl.
Yeah.
Watch what's going
on
in the background.
Turn it up.
Like, everything is perfectly mapped out. I love how it initially starts out and the wristwatch is like its own fucking character.
Mm-hmm. And all this stuff in the background, the SKU, the coffee cup.
Yeah. One. Yeah, I mean, like, it's important to pay attention to. Pay attention to the illustrations when they come up.
That's what I'm doing right now.
It's all Wednesday. How does that not sound like something like, wait, what? Okay, so these are the scenes I was telling you guys to pay attention to. It looks like just an innocuous woman looking for a job, kid gets a new bike. But it all comes together.
This is interesting. I know the concept behind it.
Yes, that a man starts hearing a narrator.
Right.
It's important that you specify it's a narrator,
mm-hmm.
not voices. It's a narrator.
I love this part.
You've heard me say that before. Donzareho is Venstein. Now you understand. Harold just thought it was Wednesday.
Okay, I know who that person is. I can't think who it is.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Arrested Development?
No, actually I have not, but I have seen him in other things.
Yeah, he's fucking fantastic. They're leaving Volich, not moving.
He's narrating.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, already he's not like the Will Ferrell you've ever seen in your life.
No, no, not at all. He's very, very much passive in this role.
He's very,
you know, generally
confused.
You see Will Ferrell, you think of Step Brothers or, you know, where he's just incredibly silly and stupid.
No, no, this movie. Oh, there we go. Taxman!
Okay. I like that.
That's Maggie Gyllenhaal, by the way.
Yeah, I love Maggie Gyllenhaal. She actually is in a great movie called Secretary.
Yes. You need to watch this. This is amazing. She's really hit
well,
and miss for me.
I basically love her, period. Okay.
Thank you. Not now.
Okay, I'm starting to like this movie. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Again, he's not playing what your usual. And I'm sorry, she's gorgeous in a very unusual way. Right?
In this movie especially. As a representative of the United States government. So it's entirely
Hold on. Don't say anything. Okay, now say something. I had to see that. I knew that was important.
Yes, it's entirely subtle humor in this movie, but it is deeply hilarious if you pay enough attention to catch what they're saying.
I love her, by the way. I love Emma Thompson.
Ugh, yeah. Yes. There's another character coming up soon in the movie that is an actress that when they started their career, they didn't even start as an actress. They were a rapper.
Oh, Jesus.
Huh?
Who committed suicide?
There we go.
By the way, I love her. You know that she's the Equalizer now. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
She is now the Equalizer. She's on CBS and the reboot of the Equalizer.
Well, she is fantastic in this movie, and she plays a very serious character.
I love her. There's a wonderful film that she, the first film she ever co-starred in, I happened to see in the theater, and I loved it. It's called Living Out Loud.
Yes, I've seen it too, and I've seen her in a lot of other stuff, and even when she's playing, like, dumb, funny roles, she's fantastic. But we've also seen
she's
her in things like
Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
yeah. Period.
This was right before Chicago, I think.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I love that Emma Thompson is chain smoking. Okay, I'm just want that understood.
And there's a whole thing about that. Like, pay attention to her smoking because there's some great lines involving her smoking. I'll cue you in to pay attention.
Okay.
Yeah. Penny, Queen Latifah, she is a non-shit-taking, no-nonsense assistant from the editors.
Don't screw with me type of character.
Oh, yeah. You don't fuck with Penny.
Well, basically, you don't screw around with you don't screw around with Queen Latifah. Period. Basically.
And this whole interaction is amazing, by the way. Okay. this monologue she delivers in a second. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right here. Handed her the ashtray.
Yeah.
Here. I love that. I will gladly and quietly help you kill Harold Crick.
Okay, now who is that? I've seen him too.
I know. I'm trying to remember. Let me pull it up real quick because obviously, like, I know every word to this movie. This guy is... Did you notice the clouds started kind of moving around in the background?
Yes, I did.
There's a lot going on in the background of this. Tom Hulce? H-U-L-C-E?
Oh, Tom Hulce! That, okay, you know who he is? Who is he? He's Amadeus.
Oh, my God. Okay. Back to the movie. Sorry. Gave him a hug. Okay, this is important. Watch right now.
I think I would be freaking out too.
This is a great scene. He's beautiful in this scene.
All I have to think about Stormy the Closet is like, we're going to storm the castle. Sorry.
Yeah. Have fun storming
the castle. Miracle Max.
But is he not, like, beautiful in this?
Yeah. He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. I'll give you that. Accurately.
Better vocabulary.
Oh, you know who that is.
Yes, it is.
Who is it?
Oh, I can't remember her name, but I know that she was also the fashion designer in The Incredibles movies.
That is Linda Hunt.
I'm sorry. Yes. He's like, I'm sorry, it's just not schizophrenia. I would suggest you take this drug medication.
Someone who knows about literature.
Do you know who that is? It's
Dustin
Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
Are you allowed to say that to crazy people? Much to narrate.
You
know that?
Okay. Interesting.
It's been a very revealing 10 seconds, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
She is so ethereal in this movie.
I will say this, that this movie has cast a prospective romantic influence on him very well.
Yeah.
This is a great scene, too. This is where he just really turns into an actor that I respect the fuck out of. Ogled you. I left my thimbles and socialist reading material at home.
I just want you to know I'm having a little trouble with my Wi-Fi. I've been having these difficulties every so often. So
oh,
I just
okay.
lost. I need to know where we are.
Okay, we are at 31, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39.
Okay, we're good. We're good. We're good. I'm a little ahead of you, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I already know what's happening. So, like, you do what you need to do. Watch whatever, because I know this movie like the back of my hand. So,
okay, so the black guy on TV, okay, where he walks in and Dustin Hoffman is watching TV?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
That was Samuel L. Jackson, wasn't it?
No, that
no,
was not Samuel L. Jackson. That was Bill Duke.
I didn't see it all the way. I'm sorry.
Bill Duke, probably better known as a character actor and also a director. His first film that he did was Car Wash. Played Hakeem.
Yeah. Oh, here's the 23 questions. This is great. Get to the questions.
King of the Lanes?
I Yeah, King of the Trolls. Like, clandestine land under your floorboard. Stonewood Library, Corpse Park.
Okay, I love the golem, okay?
Aren't you relieved to know you're not a golem? I've said that, too. Now you're starting to understand where some of my weird humor jokes come from, Carl. Aren't you relieved to know you're not a golem? Oh, well, you're looking for a new job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. No. I've said that line before.
Yep. No business of saving lives.
Notice she's only smoking half cigarettes.
Yeah, and she's putting them all out. But that was one of my favorite lines. She's like, when she says, and I suppose you smoked all of these cigarettes. And she's like, no, they came pre-smoked.
The interesting thing I'm seeing about Farrell is he's very still in this movie.
Yes.
I mean, incredibly
still. He's very subdued. He is.
Well, no,
and
not just subdued. Look at how he's sitting.
No, I know.
No,
I know. I know exactly what you're saying, because it isn't just subdued. It is, he's very still. And I'm glad you said it like that, because I haven't thought about it exactly like that, but that's exactly what it is. He's so motionless.
Yeah.
And not emotionless, just motionless. Now, you've got to keep watching, because it takes some twists and turns that you might not be expecting. Now, some of them you might, because it is a romantic, you know, comedy movie. But
have you met anyone recently who might boast the very core? Sir,
No,
just you.
I know. I'll love this here in a second. This is exactly what I would do to people. I put them in this box just to screw with you.
I like these forms that come in and out. I like that.
Yeah.
This is well collected, by the way.
Yeah, it really, really is. I mean, like, every scene in this movie is important for one reason or another because of what is there or what isn't there in the background. And you'll understand what that means later, but really, once it starts getting into what isn't there anymore is when the movie is getting really, it's taking a different turn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now he's going home all sad and dejected and shit.
Yeah, I mean, just look how he's walking down this thing and how he's so straight and he doesn't really move.
He's so fucking rigid. And that's what this character is supposed to be. She's like, no, fuck you, dude.
You don't like cookies? I love cookies. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. I know that kind of scared you.
No, it's okay. I was going to tell people, like, I've been having, like, epic sneezing fits all night and stuff, so if I take a little bit to respond, sometimes it might be because I'm on mute.
Yeah.
Sneezing my brains out.
No.
God, sorry, guys. God bless you.
This is like you and me, Carl.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with making cookies. Seriously.
Hey, and you and I have both talked about this, and we both know that sometimes the only way to make the world a better place is just to cook for somebody.
Yeah. Be nice to someone.
Oh, this is important.
Nice. You know, he's actually right about that.
I know, but why? It does turn into something important. Is
okay,
that not
like,
like
this
most beautiful, saddest thing you've ever seen? Just like, oh, you just want to fucking hug him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just pat, pat, baby. It's going to be okay. Ow. Like, God, have you ever had those days where you have to, like, literally sit at home and do absolutely nothing?
Absolutely.
Fucking bonkers. So, right now what he's trying to do. Do you understand what's going on here? Huh?
He's trying to break the cycle.
Yeah, he's trying to see if the cycle is dependent on him or if, you know, he is dependent on the cycle. So he's not even allowed to answer the phone, which, God, that's got to be so fucking annoying. Out. And again, out. So, what do you think is going to happen, Carl?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Which actually is a very good thing. I don't know. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Holy crap in hell.
He's
like, ah, damn it. Nobody's ever done that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where it starts getting kind of philosophical, like, seriously.
Well, it is philosophical. I caught that right from, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes into it.
Right.
No question.
But
I mean, you're talking, he goes to it, hold on, he goes to a literature expert, right? And so there's all this literature theory that's hitting you. There's a bunch of stuff that's going on here.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I was saying. Like, you really got to pay attention to a lot of this, and it's still a good movie even if you don't catch everything in the background. But, you know, see, now he's kind of – he can't live in his own apartment, so he's going to live with his work buddy. But he's also taking his little wibbly-wobbly vacay, as it were.
Right. Now, there's a lot of philosophy in this and a lot of stuff behind it.
Well, there really is. And that's what's so interesting about this movie is these are not typically the people that you would think of. In a philosophically sound movie, but I mean, just wait until you get to the very end of it. It gets so much more interesting, which I know is strange because it's already a weird enough plot that it's like, how did I not know about this movie? Like, I'm surprised that you haven't seen this before, Carl.
Well, as I told you, basically, I haven't seen it because I can't stand Will Ferrell.
I'm not a huge fan of his either.
You know, we were talking about certain actors before we started here that are in films that you're very surprised it's them and that they're playing so against type. My movie that I equate with this so far is Adam Sandler in Punch Drunk Love.
But I think you're starting to see why I told you, wait until you watch.
And I understand that, okay? I mean, everyone I've talked to has said basically the same thing. This is not your normal Will Ferrell movie.
And I love this song, by the way. Spoon, I love that band. I learned them from this movie. And by the way, I do own a guitar very much like what he gets eventually. But this is a great scene, so just watch it and pay attention.
Stan is almost all in her bed. Now you understand that I sold guitars.
I know.
I know all those
scene.
Guitars in front of me.
No, you
Blind
need to watch it then. That's why I want you to watch this.
There's an Epiphone there. There's a Taylor.
I don't know what she's saying, though, because she describes all the guitars perfectly.
I think that's a Schecter, actually.
Well, yes, these pants are lying. Yeah. Off.
Okay. I'm very much like Harold. I want the bastard stepchild that nobody else wants. I understand that completely.
Oh, you've seen my guitar. You've seen my bass, and do you understand why it's named Harold Crick now?
Yeah.
A seafoam green. He's got an Epiphone, I think, but I've got a Stingray seafoam green bass with the pearl inlay. And yes, his name is Harold.
Okay, I like her too.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I'd probably go for Emma in this one instead of Maggie because
I want to see the dead for sure ones.
I like her.
Okay, so it starts getting sappy beautiful here for a second. Noah.
Monday through Friday. Oh. Punk rock song. All right.
Yes. Harold Crick lived his life. Is this not fucking beautiful so far, though?
Yeah.
This thing, Carl. Watch this with all your heart.
This is good.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm doing this because I want you.
In no uncertain terms.
Yeah, I'm hearing a little bit of background on that, so you know.
Okay, are you ahead of me or behind me?
I think I'm about to write, we're right in the same place, or near it anyway.
Is that not one of the most romantic gestures you've ever seen in a movie, by the way? I've tried to explain that scene to you, but without seeing the rest of the movie, it's impossible to impart what is happening.
Right. Well, I could tell you this right now. Because we are watching this, you consider this a lovely, odd romantic film. We're going to do one of mine, which I think is one of the most romantic films I've ever seen, and odd and strange. So maybe we'll do that on Valentine's week.
Oh, I love this part. I didn't think anything beyond I want you. She's inviting him up. And this is the prequel to one of my next favorite scenes, which we featured. This is the song we featured from the soundtrack on our show last Saturday. It's coming up in just a moment because obviously they've like had dinner together. They're eating dessert. They're laughing, having a good time. Love her fucking up house. Now that you have more context for this scene, Carl, you'll understand why this is such a beautiful song to be in this movie.
Yeah. I have an Afghan just like that my mother made. Seriously.
Yeah.
Almost. Not the same, but almost.
Yeah. I love her chandelier, by the way. Turn this shit up. Because I'm about to. You see, he grabs the guitar.
Uh-huh. Good old Reckless Eric, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you maybe start to understand why I'm, like, so infatuated?
Oh, yeah, I get that. Absolutely, I get it.
Oh, keep watching. I mean, God, that
And she's singing
like
along with him very nice.
Sultry. Just the looks on her face in this movie. Like, she is so... Aha, there it is.
Nice.
Chuck the guitar. Yes. Fucking beautiful. And now you see why that song is so poignant.
Yep. Well, you know, songs from soundtracks, they should have an emotional content, and they should also... Right?
Yeah.
You know, or comment
and I mean,
on what. And that's perfect. I understand exactly why you picked that song. Now seeing it, okay?
Yeah. But you have to see it to understand why I picked that one, because it just wait till you get through the rest of the movie. It's funny, he's like disappointed now. He's like, oh, she's in love with you. I guess that means you're not gonna die.
This woman, Karen
I love the name of the book is Death and Taxes, by the way, because, you know, he's an IRS agent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we're so quiet on this show, everybody, but, like, so much of the dialogue in this movie is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this.
I know you have.
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't sound like a crazy person at all.
This uncomfortable comedy always bothers me. To us, it's not that it's not good, it's just like I don't like uncomfortable comedy because it happens to me all the fucking time, right?
I don't either, but this works in a way that doesn't make me too uncomfortable.
Yeah. This is what you do. You go find the tax records. Exactly.
It's totally illegal, but he's a new Herald now. What's going to happen here, guys? What's going to happen?
Thank you. and the second seemed to be something with a fresh bunch of mucus. Dialed the first one, fervently making sure to get each number key a specific forceful push.
What is going on here?
Here you go.
Is this a joke?
No, I work for the IRS. I think it's like a joke.
That's freaky.
Yeah, I know. Very Hitchcockian here.
Well, it's all coming to this. You know it's coming to this. Where
you
the character
do,
meets
but you
the
don't
audience.
Know how it's going to end.
No,
you have
I didn't
no
say
idea.
I knew how it I didn't say that, did I?
Well,
but you know this is happening.
Yeah. And by the way, I love Queen Latifah in a good suit like that. She is so fucking gorgeous.
You gotta watch The Equalizer. Seriously.
I will. But you gotta watch this.
I am.
Her eyes look so just like beautiful and elfin in that moment. Oh,
yeah. I like how she's backing away from her. This is really well directed.
Oh my God, it is. You know, and that's another reason I needed you to see this movie. Like, you know, I've been talking this up for a few years now. And
well,
a
you
lot
know,
of
we were supposed
to
do this a year ago. And somehow it got screwed up.
It's been screwed up like 3 times that we've tried to do this movie. So I'm glad it's finally happening because I think you're kind of starting to get...
Well,
this is my
kind
of love story. Oh, this is so hard. He's like, wait, you've figured out how to kill me and you've already written it down. Holy shit, that means it's about to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
what to do or what not to do.
I mean,
sorry we're being quiet again, guys, but Carl's a virgin on this movie, and there's a lot of really important scenes.
Okay, so there's the kid in the bike. Okay, I can see where you're saying all this, you know, it's a puzzle that's going to fit in a certain way, but you don't know how it's going to fit yet.
Yeah, because if you've noticed, there's been other scenes in the movie where Karen Eiffel, you know, the writer, has been imagining things, like when she imagined that car wreck, there was the bus driver and the kid on the bicycle and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Pay attention to the background scenes in this, because it actually does tell a different part of the story. Oh, this is depressing.
Oh, sorry.
But we should all knowingly face our death.
Yes.
Because we're all going to do it at one point or another anyway. Sorry to be depressing there.
This is really bad timing.
You know, Hoffman is a good actor. And I mean, he's a really good actor, and he's one of our best. But I've never been a huge fan, but I like these type of roles with him. There's another movie where he plays Paul Giamatti's father called Barney's Virgin.
Yeah.
Say that again?
I mean, did you see Farrell crying in that scene? Like, it was so convincingly beautiful. So subdued, and like you were saying earlier, he's so motionless. He's so stoic. But you see now, he's starting to move more.
Oh, yeah.
He's starting to do things. He's starting to move. He's starting to, like, feel his body and his life. And he is faced now with the fact that his death is one of the most poetically beautiful things that could ever happen. And so he finally decided to read about it himself. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And see, this is the part we don't think about. Like, what about the author that finally realizes that, you know, all the shit they're writing actually happened to somebody?
Yeah.
Now she's all like, holy fuck, what about all those other fucked up things that I wrote and made happen to people? Were they real people too? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you're getting into literature theory here. It would be interesting to have Vicky, who's an English teacher. I wonder if she knows this film. For those of you who don't know, Vicky is part of our podcast group occasionally. She and I will be doing the show tomorrow. And Vicky and I have known each other for many, many years. And we'll just leave
and
it
look,
at that.
He's finally reading the last pages, the ones that she hasn't typed yet.
She's broken too, you know.
Very. Is that not fucking beautiful? So he has now accepted that he's going to die.
Harold unsuspectingly went about his usual business. He finished his outstanding order. He made a few phone calls.
Does this program have an age limit?
Much older. Nice enough. Any other
this is not a perfect fucking night. By the way, I will say that the first time I watched this movie, it actually made me cry a few times.
Oh, sure. I could see that. And the thing is, for those that react that way, this earns it. I hate movies that are manipulative. This is not manipulative.
Not once. Not even once. Listen to this. So there's the wristwatch. And seriously, fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah, agreed.
I cannot simply throw Harold off a building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so together now.
Right.
He's getting ready for work. Black lady's waking up and getting ready for work. Kids getting up and getting ready for play. Go. Oh, something like that in the morning, smoking a cigarette. Writer's block, artist's block. Sorry, guys. This is a really intense moment in the movie. We're being really quiet right now because, well, we need everybody to give time to some mop some tears up.
Yep.
You okay over there, Carl?
I'm okay. I got a little teary-eyed.
But you knew it was going to happen.
Hi, I'm Karen. I believe we have a family. Well, I just came by to read it.
The new ending.
Well, you're not dead. On the other hand, it's like every bone in your right foot, four broken ribs, right through the left arm, and severed an artery in your right arm. You're not diminished, but amazingly, the shard of metal from your watch starts to be eyes, it gives you blood loss low enough to keep your blood.
There you go.
Therapy, a few months of rest, you should be fine. Well, sort of. We weren't able to remove the shard of watch from your arm without the skin to your arm.
It's kind of romantic, too, by the way. Not in the lovey-dovey sense, but in the romanticized sense of beautiful things that happen in the world.
Oh, God.
I like how she's like staring awkwardly out his windows.
You know, I think I'm fine with it. No, not yet. Not the time, but I think
Yep. Wonderful.
The end.
Wonderful.
There you fucking go. One of my favorite, like probably my absolute the favorite movie of all time.
So whose story was it? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't his.
No, absolutely it wasn't. I think it's the story of his wristwatch, but...
Nope.
It's Emma's
story. Okay, whose story was it?
It's Emma's
story. Well, yeah,
it was
Emma's story.
No, it's her story all the way through.
Oh, and her name is Karen Eiffel, by the way, in the movie.
Okay.
Karen Eiffel.
I had it down, so I wasn't hearing all the dialogue. I will rewatch this. But, no, that's her story. That's not his story. That's her story.
Mm-hmm. No, they actually make it very clear in the movie that that's not his story.
Yeah.
No, it's the narrator. It's the author's story.
Exactly.
And it really is a movie about her, but without using her to illustrate
it's
the story.
It's second person. It's what they call second person. We know first person... In third person, but second person isn't used much because it's difficult to deal with. And she's the second person in the story, really, because it's she's writing it. You know,
yeah.
And so, yeah.
I want to see if you caught what I was telling you to catch in the background thing.
Well,
did
what
you
it
notice
is, this, is,
did you notice the story unfold?
Oh, yeah. It's not that hard to follow. Because what it is, it's like I said, it's pieces of a jigsaw that you know that are going to come together, but you don't know how they're going to come together. And that's part of what the movie's supposed to do, right? But it gives you it gives you foreshadowing, lots of foreshadowing.
Yes, if you watch and pay attention to all of the background scenes, like the lady looking for the job, the kid getting the new bike, all of that, you realize that that's all stuff that she's
Elements
going through her head as a writer.
Right.
And then in the end, when it actually happens, it was with the bus driver and the kid that got the new bike and, you know, the wristwatch that went haywire one day and put him 3 seconds late. I mean, that's literally just a story about how your life can change if you're, you know, on a 3 second different path than you were a day before.
Did you ever see the assignment bureau?
Maybe.
Okay. That's based on a Philip K. Dick story called The Assignment Team. And it's the same exact point that seconds can matter.
Yeah,
you know, seconds can matter and can change your life.
Yeah, and those seconds were either A, going to be the most poignant, poetically beautiful death in the world, or the beginning of somebody being able to finally live a beautiful life. And
Right. Sometimes
it's even the same 3 seconds. It's just how other people react to them and not how you react. So yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, because great soundtrack, great story, great acting. Jesus H. Christ, was there a single person in that movie that didn't have you dead fucking convinced?
No, even the small characters, the guy who liked the Danish and that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well cast, well directed, and well written too.
I was going to say that, well written as well, because that one is one that just that gets me every time.
But again, it's very interesting that you see a film that's in second person, that or even read a story that's in second person. That doesn't happen often.
No.
Me.
And that's what was so interesting about this movie. And I'll say this, and then we're probably going to like have to hit our housekeeping. But when I first saw a preview for this movie, I have no idea where I saw it. I think it was on an early streaming service. And for like 2 or 3 years, people thought I was crazy, because I was like, have you heard about this movie? Where Will Ferrell may or may not be crazy, but he's hearing a narrator. And then finally I saw it one day at the store, and I bought it, and I paid full price. I paid $20 for this DVD just because I had to see it, because it had been 3 years and everybody thought I was fucking nuts, and I only saw the one preview the one time and could never find it again. So when I saw it, I bought it and fell the fuck in love with it. And we go. That is my story of Stranger Than Fiction.
But it's, you know, again, I have to really say something about Will Ferrell, because given the chance, these comedians that we think of, you know, Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, Robin Williams. Give them a chance to do something different, seriously. You know, and that was really good to see Will Ferrell deal with that. Very much so. So anyway, let's get to housekeeping here momentarily. So tomorrow we are doing a show. It's a new show with Vicki Love is hosting. I'll be co-hosting with her. It is called Intent. And basically what we're going to be doing on this first show is we are talking about Crumb, Robert Crumb, the underground comics artist. And there was an article on Facebook that we both saw. We started talking about it. And what we're going to do is really look at the intent of what he wanted to do with his art. We'll be talking also about context and the time it was written. We'll probably get into some cancel culture and along with that. But we are going to be doing different shows every 2 weeks based on intent. And that is premiering tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Friday, Cathode Ray Mission, Adam Ferenz will be doing a podcast on John Ford. And then next Tuesday, which is February 1st, by the way, we start our celebration of Black History Month with a commentary watch. John Killian and I will be doing Black Dynamite, and we'll be doing numerous commentaries during the month of, pardon me, sinuses, month of February. And that's what we're going to do. So we just got 90 seconds. Wow, we did this really well, didn't we?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
So at this point, please join us tomorrow for Intent, on Friday for John Ford, and next Tuesday for Black Dynamite. And we have lots more coming, trust me. And also, I really want to say that if you get a chance, it's in the archives, please listen to our memorial podcast we did for David Whittington on yesterday. It was a really fine show. It was was difficult for all of us that were there. His two sisters were there. His niece and all of us were, you know, friends and people from ISF called in. Just a really nice tribute to David. So you want to listen to that too. And we will see you tomorrow for Intense. So I think at this point, let's say good night. Say good night, Miss Rachel.
Good night. Good night, Miss Rachel.
Yes,
good night,
don't
Mr.
let the
Cole.
Finish on tonight. Bye.
No grumpy bugs either. Bye.
All right. Here we go. All right, good night.